Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Welcome to a new episode of the MC Universe, a comics versus podcast by the Lorehounds, your guides to the intersection of the MCU, Wakanda, and real world history. I am Alicia, and I swear that's not vibranium in my pocket. I'm just happy to see you.
And I'm Jean, the herald of a new T'Challa that I just know Kevin Feige is going to be giving me soon. But for now, we're looking through the eyes of Wakanda at the thousands of years of stories that eventually lead us to the most important, Black Panther.
So finally, so this, in our defense slightly, this show.
It was cursed.
This show was released 26 days earlier than previous announced. It was going to be on the August 27th, and then they're like, surprise, it's actually going to be on August 1st. We're still late, but yeah. Things happen.
You know, some productions are cursed. You've heard of this. Many film sets and, you know, studio sessions, things happen that are unexplainable. And I feel like this is what happened with Eyes of Wakanda for us.
Yeah, it was almost cursed again today. As you know, I was without internet for most of the day, and you were like, breathe. But the internet came back, and it's happening.
I don't know why the ancestors are trying to tell us. They're trying to tell us something. I don't know what it is. Got to figure it out.
Like, you need to stew on Wakanda a while longer. the way we're going to handle this one is we are going to start with some spoiler-free hot takes and production info, and then we'll take a break. And when we get back and we're going to talk about the episodes themselves, and all spoilers will be on the table. And of course, that includes all Marvel movies, TV, comics, anything that we feel we need to bring up. To set it up, the official plot premise, Eyes of Wakanda follows the adventures of the Wakandan war dogs of the secret Hatshepsut-Zarazai organization throughout history as they carry out dangerous missions to retrieve vibranium artifacts lost to the world. So, okay, we're talking spoiler-free for now. Jean, how would you rank these four episodes? Or do you have any favorites that stood out to you?
Yeah, I think, let's see, how would I rank them? I think into the first episode, Into the Lion's Den, might be my favorite.
Okay.
Because I love the character of Noni. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that story. I thought the animation for that was especially well done, especially the action sequences. Mm. And I really liked it. So, and then I would go... Wow. I think maybe I would go with The Last Panther as number two.
Okay.
And then number three would be Lost and Found, the third episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth one would be Legends
and Lies. The second one?
Yeah, the second episode. That would be... Okay. So I would go 1, 4, 3, 2 in order of favorites.
We're quite different. I think my favorite action sequences were actually Lost and Found, the third one.
Wow, okay.
And that might be my favorite overall. I did also really like, okay, I'm quite into, you know, ancient Greek history mythology. And you know, yeah, mythology, exactly. So I quite liked episode 2. So I think I'm doing 3, 2, 1, 4, I guess.
Okay.
4 was cool for reasons we'll talk about. I don't want to spoil. But I don't know. I guess I got more sucked into the other stories.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, my entryway into all things, you know, superhero, mystics, whatever, magic was Greek mythology. And mm-hmm. I didn't want that here, if that makes sense.
Well, it was quite a grounded take versus, say, like what we've seen in Thor movies, you know?
No, definitely. But I just
like they could have had Hercules. Well, I don't want to. They could have had characters show up.
Right. So, yeah. I didn't need to see Achilles.
What is your overall hot takes about the 4-episode season overall?
I think for MCU fans, you should watch definitely the last one, episode 4. I think for Marvel fans, you should watch all 4 of them. But for people who are MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe fans, and that's it, then the 4th episode is probably a must watch.
I mean, but I think then you also need to watch the 1st episode just because that sets up the whole scenario, going on with the Wakandans, with the Wargons.
Yeah.
And then you might as well just watch the others because it's so short, guys. It's like watching a film, basically.
Yeah, they're not really long episodes, but I think the 4th one to me is the one that's the linchpin for the MCU people.
Yeah. I think overall, like taking these as a whole, they're in wildly different time periods. So except the first 2 are relatively close together. So there, you know, you get some more direct overlap, but overall it's different characters each time, but we're seeing Wakanda develop throughout history. And it was just interesting to see it this way about how we've always known that the story of Wakanda is a story about questions about isolationism. That's right. Basically what the crux of the final debate between Killmonger and T'Challa was in the first movie. And this show really emphasized that.
Yeah, it really emphasizes how Killmonger was right.
Yes. Yeah. I dare you to finish this and not say hashtag Killmonger was right. Yeah.
It really does. It really does. You know, he was right.
Because it's also, we see, you know, we start in, you know, antiquities times, and we see that Wakandans really, they've had this crazy tech for millennia. And sure, it's developed a bit, but basically, especially far into the past, they were basically like gods to the rest of the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it shows that Killmonger was right.
Yeah. But it also makes me think, why didn't their tech progress even further than it did? Because the gap between them and the rest of the world narrowed so much until it gets to the point where in the movies that are set in the current time or a few years after us, you know, the tech is very advanced, but it's not as huge a difference as, you know, when some people are rowing in boats and others are flying in jets.
Right.
So I was asking myself, why didn't their tech progress even further? And I think it's the isolationism. It's we see in our own history when cultures isolate themselves, when nations isolate themselves, they're not getting the influx of creativity and their technology. Exactly. Yeah. Are you a particular fan of any of the time periods? Or do you think that affected your ranking of the episodes at all?
No, I think the time period that most intrigued me was, interesting enough, the 2nd episode's time period.
Okay.
Because I would have loved to see Wakanda outside of during the time of myths and legends, their own myths and legends. Right? And I think that's why the episode didn't land with me as much, because that time period would have been cool to explore what, you know, Wakanda and what the rest of Africa were doing. And you know, and how they were formulating their, you know, odysseys and things of that nature.
Yeah, because the show really follows, because it follows these war dogs, it follows people who have left Wakanda. And there's also, there are interesting storylines about that too, about, you know, there is just a type of person we see in general in the world who's a roamer, a traveler. And the question is, yeah, they're fighting for some, for a place where they don't necessarily feel at home, because part of them just always has that itch to go away. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. I was most excited. I have a particular interest in the era of the first episode, which is 1200 BC, because that is, we'll talk about it as we get into the episode, but that is an era known as the Bronze Age Collapse, which is very mysterious. And I just, just within a couple hundred years, all of the civilizations around the Mediterranean collapsed, basically, you know, from Greece to Egypt and everywhere in between. This episode played into the ideas and thoughts about why that might have happened. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought episode 2 had the best character development, but with the sort of complexities of the friendship between the two main characters.
I thought Noni was the most
well
developed of the characters personally in episode 1.
I think she's the most important of the characters. But I'm not saying that their characters were developed the best, but their friendship was developed the best. The relationship is what interested me in episode 2. Okay. Episode 3, like I said, that's the one I thought had the best action, because we do get a bit of we get a lot of variety of action there.
Yes.
And episode 4, you know, is, as you said, that's the one that's gonna make the MCU fans go right. So this was a second entry in phase 6 of the MCU, so the final phase of the multiverse saga, after, of course, Fantastic Four First Steps. And yeah, we did talk about what we're expecting from this phase so far at the end of our Fantastic Four episodes. So check that out if you haven't yet. But this is the first animated project set within 616. So the other animated stuff that we've talked about, What If, Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, X-Men 97, those are all outside the sacred timeline, but not this one. This one is in the sacred timeline.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. The spoilers are killing me. I'm like,
okay. All right. Well, this has been a long gestating show, almost as long gestating as this podcast. It was announced in December of 2023 as part of, like, Ryan Coogler signed this overall, his Proximity Media studio signed this overall deal with Marvel to develop these, you know, Wakanda-based projects, and that I think, interestingly, I feel like, okay, now this is just me having thoughts that are based on nothing but gut feeling, but just seeing the way the projects have gone, a big part of me wonders if they, after Black Panther 2, it did get Oscar nominations and even, you know, won costumes and stuff, but I feel like they were backing off of Ryan Coogler just because there's general backing off of diversity coming from the Disney corner, not Disney alone, but definitely them. And then Sinners happened.
Exactly.
I'm so happy about Sinners.
And they're back on the Coogler train. Yeah. They're back in the diversity train. We need more voices. We need more stories from different perspectives.
Especially if they made films this year that are considered front runners for the Oscar. Yeah. So it just feels like there were all these announcements of all these different Wakanda things that were going to happen. And we got Ironheart was part of that deal and we got this, and they were both sat upon for the longest time. And now here we go. I mean, Marvel Zombies was also sat on for a long time. The next one to come out, I think that also has to do with like where they're like, oh, we're not going to go all in on spooky. We're going to parcel it out in October, right. Spooktober season.
But it looks like spooky works.
Yeah. Hello.
People like spooky.
Yeah. But now we do at least have Black Panther 3 confirmed. I don't know. There was a live action Wakanda series that was in development. I thought we were getting the Midnight Angels, but they kind of like blew their wad in Black Panther 2.
Right.
And they couldn't give all the storylines enough space. So they're like, oh, well, that doesn't work. I'm like, well, you didn't even actually try. Anyway. So this show was created by Todd Harris. This was his directorial debut, but he has a background in art departments, particularly in Marvel, worked on Sinners, etc. And the animation was done by Axis Animation in a hand-painted style, and they took direct inspiration from well-known African-American artists like Ernie Barnes and Dean Cornwell. Yeah, I thought that the charcoal animation opening I thought was cool. I thought that the animation within the episodes was beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts about the art?
No, I thought it was a beautifully crafted series. Like all the animations were on point, everything. There was nothing, there's nothing for me to complain about. From the color schemes, they kept, you know, the vibrancy that you got in the movies, they kept it. Upped it even more because they can in animated style. Just I think the some fight sequences, you know, were just so well done. It was really good. I don't think, you know, my barometer would be, you know, Spider-Verse movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I hold that as the lodestone. This is what you should be aspiring to get to. You know what I mean? If you're doing any sort of, you know, long form animation series or movie. And they, you know, they didn't touch Spider-Verse, but they did really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Spider-Verse has an advantage in the fact that it's like everything at the same time. You know, it's all the different styles of animation.
Right.
A whole buffet of animation. You know, I'm just looking back at how this was reviewed, and I'm surprised that, first of all, I mean, critics reviewed it pretty well. On Rotten Tomatoes, 92% liked it, 71% on Metacritic. But then public audiences, it's taken a sharp dip. I last looked at it a couple months ago. It's now down to 52% Rotten Tomatoes and 4.4 on Metacritic. And it's a 3 on Letterboxd, which is right in the middle. So it feels like it got a warmer reception. And then, I don't know, people started railing against it for some reason.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
The budget was rumored to be about $20 million, which is, for a gorgeous animation. I mean, I suppose for 4 episodes, it's a lot. The episodes are 30 minutes each. The music enjoyed the music, but when I looked it up and saw that it was the Moon Knight composer, an Egyptian composer named Hesham Nazi, I was not at all surprised. I was like, oh yeah, that tracks. That's definitely Moon Knight music.
Yeah, Moon Knight music was good.
Yeah, yeah, no complaints. How would you put this on the Pukila rating for violence, and including emotional violence?
I don't know. Two? I mean, it's animation.
Yeah. It's not gory. So this is a scale out of 5 for anyone who doesn't know.
But like 1.5, I guess, 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I think, you know, it's... I suppose the goriest one is kind of, in a way, the second one. I mean, I suppose they are all set during
the war. They have their moments. But they're not, it's not gratuitous, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like splattery blood, you know?
All right. Well, what would you say to anyone who's considering whether or not to watch this?
I think you should absolutely watch it because, again, if you're an MCU fan, the fourth episode is a must watch. If you like comics and you like Marvel stories, period, to know more about Wakanda and why you see the Wakanda that you do see on screen, I think this gives you a dope insight into that. So I think you should watch it. It was fun. The animation style is gorgeous. And I don't think you'll be disappointed if you spend an afternoon taking these half hour episodes in.
Yeah. Cool. I second all of that. I mean, yeah, it's like the length of a movie. It's gorgeous artwork and insight into Wakanda for sure. All right. On that note, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the first two episodes.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
And we're back. All right, let's go into the lion's den. Set in 1260 BC, the late Bronze Age collapse era on the island of Crete. The premise is a former member of the Dora Milaje is sent to take down a rogue Wakandan known as the Lion. And this one was written by Jeffrey Thorne, who's a novel comic and screenplay writer who's especially worked on Star Trek and Marvel, including Black Panther and DC stuff. And this one was directed by Todd Harris, the showrunner. Yeah, so what are your overall thoughts on this episode? Full spoilers on the table now.
Oh, yeah.
This was your favorite, you said.
Yeah, I think so, because I really like the character of Noni. Yeah, I think learning about her, you know, being the first war dog really was really cool. And just the way that they highlighted the women in the entire series, but in this one in particular, how, you know, this was not a purely male dominated society was really dope. She was really well fleshed out. You can see what she wanted to become. And they're like, no, we have something else that we think you would be better at. You know what I mean? Like being picked because of her, you know, abilities to do this thing that, that needed to be done according to what their beliefs was. Go track these things down because that's where the nation could best serve our nation. So I really like Noni, but I really hated Wakanda. That it sets up from the very beginning like this idea that they are not going to help. You know, like, we have to take these things out of people's hands, not in order to help them, but in order to keep them safe. That's the most paternalistic bullshit that, you know, could ever be said. Like, they're not grown enough to have these things, so we have to get it away from them for their own good and then close our walls and not share with anyone and not do anything to better anyone else. We have all these fantastic things. We'll keep them all to ourselves. Who cares what's going on outside? The world can burn. We don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I hated it.
Yeah, it was rough. And this is, you know, I referred to this earlier, but this feeling also where these war dogs that we meet throughout these episodes, they have this shared traits where they're protecting a place where they don't feel completely at home, but they still, like, I don't know, such a weird position to be in. And this, I think this especially hit me in the second episode, which is perhaps one of the reasons why I like that one, is, you know, that you're in a place in that second episode. Sorry, I'm already talking a little bit ahead.
No, go ahead.
But his friend thinks that Greece is home to him. And yes, he's lived a lot of time and built a life in Greece, but this secret home in his heart is always Wakanda, and he will drop this entire life he's built on a dime to protect this place where he has not spent presumably most of his life at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting place to be in. And I think Noni, from this first episode, she's in a way kind of more sympathetic because she's the first in a way. I mean, she's not technically the first, is Nakati, the Nakati. Lion.
Right.
Yeah. Who wants to found the Lion Kingdom. But it seems like, as would be expected, after Noni takes him down, he's kind of erased from history, and Noni's the one who's remembered as the founder later.
Right.
Noni, by the way, this younger version was played by Winnie Harlow, who's a model who came up back in the day when I used to still watch America's Next Top Model, so ages ago. But I think she did a really great job.
No, the voice acting throughout was excellent through all four episodes. So she was really great. There was a lot of heart in Noni, you know, in the character.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt her her desire and her want to be something, right? I felt it through the screen, like this person who wants to matter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Wakanda used that, you know, and I think she understood that she was being used, and she also welcomed it. But at the same time, I was just like watching. I'm like, this is why, you know, Killmonger was fucking right all along. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to get to the fourth episode to realize that. I got that right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got that right away.
Yeah, I mean, it was also interesting to see her relationship. So Noni was kicked out of the Dora Milaje, basically, because she was, I don't know, going her own way too much. But we see there isn't a head of the war dogs at this point. So we see Akia, the head of the eldest leader of the Dora Milaje, is the one who's kind of managing Noni and kind of guides Noni to realize that, no, she's not Adora Milaje. She's not meant to be the home team. She's meant to be the field agent. So let me ask you, what did you think about the character of, you said it better than me, Nkati the lion?
I thought he was a great first villain or adversary or antagonist because he was, you know, he was basically telling her like, yo, Wakanda is bullshit. I know I'm bullshit too, but you know, the first, the first set of bullshit is coming from, you know, the country that we love. So, you know, his whole spiel about the secrecy and lies of the Wakandan, you know, regime, it was true. You know, he was absolutely on point with that. But then wanting to build his own, you know, empire to be worshipped like a god, that's a little bit overboard. And that goes to show it's the same through line from him to Killmonger. They're both speaking truths, right? But it's like, okay, what do you do with that truth? How does that play out in your everyday life? What are you going to do with it? And both of them did horrible things with that truth.
Yeah. I like that they tied him to, you know, I mentioned this earlier, this late Bronze Age collapse, which just basically it's known in history that around this same time, this is set in 1260 BC, which is, you know, right in the heart of that. There's, you know, Egypt, Anatolia, the Eastern Libya, the Balkans, just Greece. All these places, the cultures, like these rich cultures that were there, collapsed within quick succession of each other. And so historians have been scratching their heads for centuries, like, why did this happen? And one of the key things that, because they found murals on walls and some records and things that refer to the Sea Peoples, and Sea Peoples plural, because it is said that they were not of one land. And so the question of historians today is, these Sea Peoples who are said to have been raiding, you know, all of these coastal places, are they a symptom or the cause? And so this short plays into it by basically saying the Sea Peoples was this group that was organized by Nkati and of people from all over the world. Now, there's a little fudging of history. Like, for example, he has a Viking shield maiden, but the Vikings didn't start until like 2,000 years later. But it's a different reality. It's not our reality. So
it's all right. It's animation. It's okay.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I'll let it go. But they also had a Samoan warrior, Ronin, and another one that looks like maybe Bedouin Roman, something like that. But yeah, we have here Nkati. He's calling himself the liberator while he literally is putting people in chains.
In chains, yeah.
Yeah.
Funny how that works, right?
For their own protection. So in that way, he, you know, as the same way they're taking vibranium from non-Wakandans for their own protection, he's also, right. Yeah. I mean, like you said, he realizes he's bullshit. He's just selfish.
Yeah. I thought the fight sequence, which they're on the ship, and that whole, yeah, I love it. I love that. That was just great.
Is your understanding of what happened there that it seemed, okay, so there's the explosion, self-destruct, you know, Nkati dies. Do you think the artifacts then, they sank and were scattered, and that's why they turned up throughout history? Because we saw at least one of them literally later in a later episode that was falling to the bottom.
Once the ship blew up and everything went, you know, bye-bye, that's how those artifacts got scattered. The ones from the rest of the episodes, from the rest of the season. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's interesting. They make it as far, you know, as China, and they travel.
That's how things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we always underestimate when we look back at ancient history. We underestimate how much trade and movement there really was.
Right, exactly.
So I have to shout out Jessica Clemens on New Rock Stars pointed out something that I saw this and immediately dove in. There's this series on Disney Plus called Empower, and I didn't watch it. It's basically like raw women of the MCU. And I was like, okay, this is just going to be promotional BS. And it is some promotional BS, but they do actually show that their production designer, Hannah Beachler, we already knew she made this Wakanda Bible, and she's shown pages from it before. But in this Empower first episode is about the women of Wakanda. And they showed more pages of this, which is a timeline of Wakandan history. So,
oh man, I gotta watch that series.
Yeah, yeah. So we know based on that this takes place in the Iron Age. I mean, it's the Iron Age for the rest of the world. They are actually far ahead, but you know, you can see their own timeline next to the rest of the world. But yeah.
Nice. Yeah, this looks great. I love this. I love this world building, man.
Mm-hmm.
Really love this.
Yeah. But just to point out that, yeah, from that timeline, we know that this is 500 years after the first Black Panther. So it's like the series kind of goes from the first Black Panther to the last one.
Right.
All right. Any final thoughts on episode one?
No, just Noni's a badass.
Yeah, Noni's cool. She turns up at the end of episode two as well. All right. In the second episode, Legends and Lies, this one is set only 60 years later, so really close together, in 1200 BC during the Trojan War. So this is set basically Greece, Turkey area, Turkey being where Troy was. And yeah, amidst a Trojan War, a soldier attempts to breach the city's defenses to retrieve an artifact. And this one was written by Mark Bernardin, who's a journalist, TV and comic book writer. He's worked on Star Trek, Castle Rock, Carnival Row, etc. And this one was directed by John Fang, who has an animation background, which makes sense. And this time our war dog was Bakai, is how he is known in Wakanda, but he's been living for a long time under the name of Memnon, which is a historical reference. Are you familiar with Memnon?
No.
So historical reference, I mean, Greek mythology, but this is the part, like the Trojan War is the part of Greek mythology. Like, do we think that there was a man who existed named Achilles? Yeah, probably. Do we think that he was really impervious to everything?
Yes, yes we do. Well,
did he supernatural in real life?
Yes.
I'm personally a bit more doubtful on that, but we have every reason to believe the Trojan War took place, just maybe with fewer gods directly involved. But Memnon, so this is another one of these mythological historical figures.
Wasn't he one of the kings?
He was a king of Ethiopia.
Yes. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So he basically, during the Trojan War, he brought an army to Troy's defense.
Yes.
And Nestor is the one. He killed Nestor's son. And so Nestor challenged him to a fight, and he refused because he thought it was, dishonorable killing an elderly man. So Nestor then pleaded, and Nestor wasn't in this at all, I don't think. But in the myth, Nestor pleaded with Achilles to avenge his son's death. And despite there being warnings that, Memnon would fall and so too would Achilles, they fought each other. And Memnon drew blood from Achilles, but Achilles drove his spear through Memnon's chest, sending the Ethiopian army running. And yeah, I what we saw here was indeed they fight for different reasons than it seems, because Achilles feels betrayed, basically. And it's interesting, Memnon killed Achilles rather, and it wasn't, he wasn't pierced through the Achilles tendon by an arrow like in the myths. He just, flat out killed him. But you would think if the Greek army is telling this story, they're like, no, Memnon drew blood, but then Achilles killed him and he didn't just disappear back to Wakanda. He's dead. Achilles got him before he got by someone else.
I mean, but you couldn't dispute that because he would never be seen again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, it would be inconvenient if he showed back up.
Right.
But yeah, this is basically for this stuff all comes from the Iliad. This, you know, we had in this Odysseus, the king of Ithaca. So this is not long before his Odyssey. After this war, he does his Odyssey and gets lost on the way home. See Christopher Nolan movie next year. Did you hear about that they sold tickets to that a year in advance?
Yes. I
guess some people got
yes. That's, yes, I saw
it. I mean, that was not an option here, but like, I don't know. No, that gives me anxiety committing that far in advance.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way I was going to do it, but I don't know anyone who did it actually, but I did see that they were selling the tickets. No, like personally, I don't know anyone who did it.
Oh, yeah, I think some people on Discord said, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even an option here, so it's hard for me to say. But okay, so this episode, what was interesting about it is that, you know, we've seen, for example, we've seen glimpses of Zeus and Hercules and stuff in the last Thor movie. And that was a very fantastical, mythological version, as you would expect from comic books. This one, you know, this is set within the same universe, but it's very grounded.
It was.
Achilles does get his tendon sliced, but it doesn't, I never got the feeling that he was actually supernatural in any way in this version.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think maybe that's why I was a bit disappointed. In this episode. Again, I didn't want to see, you know, like Wakanda in a Greek setting. I would have much rather see them in another setting in this time period. But if they happen to be in a Greek setting, we know like the gods, Zeus and the Olympians exist in the MCU. I thought that would have been nice to have that included in a telling of a part of the Trojan War.
Yeah. I mean, part of me wondered if, you know, Hercules is going to show up at some point or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Zeus. I guess, though, in the end, though, I was like, I expected something more, you know, comic booky in line with the Thor stuff. But
and it was grounded.
I kind of appreciated in retrospect that it was grounded. And maybe that's one of the reasons this is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that I can see that. I can see that. But you know me, I want my heroes.
Yeah.
I want my heroes.
I mean, this was so complicated because we have, you know, it seems like Memnon and Achilles had a real friendship, but it just wasn't Memnon's top priority, you know?
Right, right. And that's fucked up.
But then we have Pharaoh, who seems like a jerk. This Myrmidon soldier, who he was doubting Memnon's allegiances to Achilles. And I hate that he was kind of right.
He was right. Not kind of right. He was right.
Yeah.
He was absolutely correct.
I do think Memnon loved Achilles, but yeah, he then killed him. So what does that mean? It means nothing then. I find it interesting the way Paris and Helen of Troy were handled, that her necklace. So not only are they the cause of the Trojan War, or at least what's always blamed, because she ran off with King Menelaus she was supposed to marry King Menelaus of Sparta and she ran off with Paris of Troy. But not only that, but her necklace is the artifact that Memnon was seeking and ended up killing his friend over.
Yeah, Helen, I tell you.
So it's kind of like, in a way, the Greek army was a Trojan horse to bring Memnon in.
It was. But again, I just, you know, I don't know. It just, I wanted more pizzazz.
Okay. All right.
I wanted more pizzazz. I wanted more lightning. I wanted more Neptune. I wanted more, you know, yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about episode 3, which definitely had more pizzazz.
It did. So episode 3, Lost and Found. Our setting finds us in 1400 AD China, the early Ming Dynasty. A powerful stowaway infiltrates the Golden City and threatens the secrets kept within. Episode was written by Mark Bernardin, directed by John Fang and Todd Harris. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, this one I thought had the coolest action. So this time the Igbo was, this time we actually got more insight into Wakanda itself too, because she actually followed him back. I liked that it was a bit about his, Basha's, hubris. He could not imagine. Like, you can see, we talked about the difference in technology. Like, they're literally using a jet in 1400. Right. And obviously, she is the, you know, China is not, the Ming Dynasty is not. But he could not imagine that she would be able to follow him. And she's like,
right.
She's the Iron Fist. I thought Jirani, the Iron Fist, this was a cool character to introduce. So, yeah, do you want to explain the Iron Fist if to anyone who's surprised it's not Danny Rand?
Oh, yeah, the living weapon of Kunlun, with hands that flow with mystic energies from Shalal, the Undying, who's a dragon. And so they're the protector of Kunlun. It's a title that's handed down, much like the Sorcerer Supreme, you know. Mm-hmm. So one person is not the Iron Fist for all their life, for all eternity, I should say. Someone else takes up the mantle when that person who is the Iron Fist either dies or, for whatever reason, Shaolan, the dragon, takes away the power from them. So if you've watched, the Netflix series, Iron Fist, you've met Danny Rand. And he, at the end of the series, is no longer the Iron Fist, right? Colin Wing is now the holder of the Iron Fist.
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked this as a new Iron Fist, Durrani. I thought it was fun to see a dog of war meeting his equal. You know, we talked about the arrogance of like, of course, nobody followed me.
Right.
And to see them fight was a lot of fun. But there was also, that fun, like Mr. and Mrs. Smith tension where they're fighting each other, but there's also sexual tension because they literally did. But there's also the shenanigans that we meet Igbo, the captain of the Hatut Zarze, who he starts as an antagonist of Basha at the beginning of the episode. And by the end, they become allies. So that was a fun arc. And then also he has his own boss, Rakim, who's the great counselor. And it's just the dynamics. We got to see a bit more of the dynamics within the organization and see not everyone goes abroad and just the internal politics in a sort of fun, slightly silly way. The stakes were relatively low.
Yeah, and also, you know, what was interesting is how it's encouraged for people not to leave.
Hmm.
You know, like it's you're almost a captive in Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you out. Like if you get out, and then it threatens Wakanda. Like
they can't control you. Yeah.
Right. And they're afraid of what you might tell other people about Wakanda, and that will bring other people to Wakanda. the most xenophobic nation from existence, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
In the MCU.
Yeah. And they chose another interesting point in history to set it because this is early Ming Dynasty in China. This is a point where there's a return to self-rule. And so there was a special interest at this time in preserving cultural artifacts. So this is why she's so, you know, she's like, you can't take our statue. This is an important artifact to us. She gives him the book, the Vibranian tongue at the end. And she's like, I can just rip it off if you just told me what you wanted. Which is, yeah, another thing that I thought was interesting about this. Like, if he had just talked to her. Yes. But it's so forbidden, obviously, because he would have to say, yeah, this is a special substance for my country.
And it's just like, yeah. At the end of the day, I think the what you get from this series is how fucked up Wakanda has been.
Mm-hmm.
And how important T'Challa is.
Right. Right. Yeah. Just also to set the timeline, interestingly, Xu Wenwu, Shang-Chi's father, he has had the Ten Rings for about 400 years already at this point, in 1400 AD.
And I wondered about that. Like, has he ever, you know, heard of Wakanda, you know, through his travels and through the things that he's done? Just, you know, there are so many interesting questions about the characters who have been long lived in the MCU and Wakanda. Have they, you know, visited or tried to or encountered these weapons, the scientific marvels that Wakanda had? Did anyone else witness these things? And what did they make of them?
Yeah.
If they did, that would be fascinating to explore in future episodes, I think.
Yeah, because we see them being taken back, but not necessarily what impact they had on the way. And it is interesting, you know, you alluded to this earlier, but in our real world, there's a debate raging around the globe about to whom do artifacts belong. I remember an offhand joke I made while I was on a tour of Greece that got the biggest laugh I've ever gotten is the tour guide was like, was pointing to the front of a building in Athens and saying, you know, the stone murals, whatever, we're going to call it that. I know there's a better word for it. they were taken to the British Museum. And he says, does anybody notice anything in the British Museum that doesn't belong there? And I said, all of it.
Everything.
That's a big laugh. But this is the question, you know, so does it belong to Wakanda because it's vibranium? But what if, as Durrani argues, what if it's been incorporated into something new, like this statue? Does it still, you know, it's building, it's become a part. You could say the same with music. Like, does the fact that blues gets incorporated into rock and roll, does that, like, should rock and roll give blues back, you know?
I mean, I think it's a different argument.
Okay.
I can say unequivocally, I believe that the artifacts that I view in museums that have been stolen and taken from other cultures in Africa and South America, Central America, at a time when, you know, those cultures and nations had no say in any of it, do not belong in those museums. That's just my worldview. If something's on loan to be viewed with permission of said country, then I'm cool with it. But the things that have been taken, you know, during the last 300 years do not belong to the museums that they are kept in. And I think with Wakanda specifically, the vibranium is not theirs, to me.
Mm-hmm.
What they turned the vibranium into, I can understand. But if they're just saying this piece of vibranium is ours, then I don't accept that. But I can accept that we've turned a piece of vibranium into something of use for our culture, our people that we've used.
Right, then into an important cultural word.
Into a tool, mm-hmm. right? We've turned this piece of rock into a tool.
Well, they turned it into a tongue, the tongue in the dragon statue.
No, I'm saying from Wakanda's viewpoint, if they have a piece of vibranium that they've turned into a scepter, they've turned into a mask, a Wakandan mask, a Wakandan scepter, sword, whatever, then that's theirs. I didn't buy that because it was just vibranium that piece of, that it was an artifact of Wakanda in episode 3.
Right. Well, that's where the paternalism comes in, where they're like, but if people figure out vibranium has special powers, which I wonder. Right. So in that case, it was shaped into the statue. The person who worked it, what did they notice? I want to see. Yeah, I want a clip of that.
Right, right. Somebody had to form that piece of rock, that piece of vibranium into something.
Mm-hmm.
But just by the nature of it being vibranium does not give Wakanda providence over it.
Mm, they disagree, yeah.
No, I know they do, which is why they're shit. But that's, you know, that's just, you know, what I think.
Mm. Yeah, and this all sets up the final episode, The Last Panther, set in 1896 AD in Ethiopia during the First Italo-Ethiopian War. And it's interesting that, again, Ethiopia, like Memnon is from, and although they didn't mention him being from Ethiopian.
No, they didn't. Yeah.
I don't think so. But yeah, they bring him back in here. Two Wakandans must choose to complete their mission or defy their homeland and save their world. It was written by Jeffrey Thorne, directed by Todd Harris. And just to set this in the MCU timeline. So at this point, Lilia Carldaru is nearly 400 years old already from Agatha All Along, for anyone who doesn't know. King-O from the Eternals has abandoned Sprite in Macedonia about 150 years ago. So we're getting deep into the MCU.
Yeah.
Agatha gave birth to Nikki less than 150 years ago. And almost 100 years after Ulysses Klaue's great-grandfather was killed by Black Panther of Wakanda. And 30 plus years after the end of the U.S. Civil War in real life. 3 years after the Chicago World's Fair, where Victor Timely wowed an audience that included Loki with his Tesla-like tech, while Miss Minutes terrified the crowds in kaiju form. And at this point, Madripoor exists, the sort of lawless version of Singapore. It was a sanctuary for pirates. So this was one of your favorites. Say more.
Yeah, I just think that the ending was it's so important to Black Panther, where you see that the artifact that they're actually trying to get is the artifact that Killmonger took from the museum in the movie, mm-hmm. which, you know, tells us where he gives his speech about exactly what we just spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
Who do things belong to? How did you get those things? And you see him standing there looking at it, and it's like a full circle moment. Like, oh, okay. Now I understand exactly the history of Wakanda, and now mm-hmm. I can understand, after watching this episode, how important a decision, T'Challa's decision, to open up Wakanda actually is.
Mm-hmm.
To end the isolation of this, to end the isolation, to end the embargo on his people being part of the world. mm-hmm. instead of separate and kept away from it.
Yeah.
Because in the episode, it shows what could have happened if Wakanda continued on the path of isolation to the detriment of everyone, themselves included.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what this whole series made me think is that my favorite character is Nakia from the live action movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of me is like, well, do I just like her because I really like the actress who plays her, which fine, fair. I have those kinds of biases. But, you know, what I like about Nakia, though, is that she went out. She was a war dog, but she went to be the change that she wanted to see in the world. You know, she's like, I know what we have versus other people, and I see the suffering around me, so I'm going to go help people and not hurt them. Like, she says, you know, I will protect Wakanda with my silence, but I'm not here to that everybody else goes down for the sake of Wakanda.
Right, right.
I mean, this is why I know you want the new T'Challa, and I think we're getting the new T'Challa in Secret Wars. I'd be surprised if it's not Damson Idris at this point, because they would be very stupid if it wasn't. But my question is, where does she, and she had a son with Chadwick Boseman's T'Challa, Toussaint, where, like, is she out completely, yes. that character? I don't want the new T'Challa to be with her. I want the new T'Challa to be with Aurora Monroe, Storm. But
right.
But I don't want her to go away.
I don't think she'll go away, but I think this current in the movie, Doomsday's Secret Wars is going to do away with all of this. And we're going to come out of that.
Characters will survive. Yeah.
No, I know characters will survive, but their continuity not will not.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lupita Nyong'o is probably too working. You know, she's too in demand, perhaps.
Maybe, but I can see her in the new MCU, definitely, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
because her continuity would have been wiped out. Like all the characters that we know, I feel are going to be taken off the board and then put back onto the board in a new continuity.
Hmm.
So she would have happened, but now it's a new Nakia where that didn't happen. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, so yeah, you think that, I don't know. I think that they might just, because she's got to be not one of the cheapest of the cast members. Maybe they just go for an all new younger cast, or I don't know.
They might do that. I don't think the character of Nakia is gone. That's what I'm saying. It might be a different actress, a different actor playing the character, but I don't think the character herself is gone.
I think with this, we know the next phase is going to be X-Men focused, and I think that probably they'll want to give what a lot of people want, including you and me, I think, and do the T'Challa Storm romance. And maybe it's just easier for them to write off any, you know, even though it's going to be a different T'Challa.
But that's my thing. I don't think the characters are being written off. They're being written off and then written back into reality.
Right. But I'm saying that they might just be gone bye-bye because it didn't, like, the baby Toussaint did not go over well, so.
Now, baby Toussaint not coming back. Toussaint Jr., you know, God bless you. The Loa, I love you. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? Legba is here for you to usher you into the land of the ancestors. You know, you at the crossroads. You're at the crossroads, little boy. You gotta go.
I mean, mama's gonna go with him, I bet, because she's she's too in demand as an actress. I heard they want to do a lot of, especially, and I think, you know, Damson Idris, that would be their big name for the Wakanda side of things, and bet I hear they want to do in general a lot of just have new more cast. up and coming yeah new cast younger people can play the roles for a while. People who won't.
That makes sense.
Cost
that
a lot of sense. Money. Yeah, it makes sense.
That makes sense.
I would love to see some fresh talent for sure. Yeah. But we had a familiar voice in playing Kuda in this, who Kuda and Prince Tafari were the two the war dogs working together. And Kuda was played by Steve Toussaint, who plays, what's his face in House of the Dragon? The Valyrian Corlys. Corlys Valyrian.
The badass Valyrian. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And he was out as like the mentor of Prince Tafari, who is a younger son who is further in line from the throne. So that's why he could go out and adventure, I suppose.
Yeah. Just Wakanda's such ass. Like an ass country, man. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's like, true. I think that's true of most royalty is they.
No, keep, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it stinks. Just the idea, the thought of it, you know, royalty, just ass, man. Just bad. Just, he, you know, everything T'Challa told his father on the ancestral plane, man. Just further, it's just further evidence he was so right.
Mm-hmm.
About everything.
Question for you. So we got a glimpse of the Last Panther played by Anika Noni Rose. And mm-hmm. So she's a time traveling queen of Wakanda from 500 years into the future. Did anyone at home think for a second that when she first showed up, like the way she was phasing in and out, kind of almost like Ghost in the MCU, there was like a clicking sound. And for a second, I was like, is this going to be a surprise Predator crossover?
Oh, God, no. Oh, my goodness.
They are both owned by Disney now.
Oh, that's true. It didn't occur to me, but, okay. Because there is a Predator versus the Marvel Universe. So.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah.
The comic, there, you know, like this year,
mm.
The Predators invaded Wakanda. It's an ongoing situation. The Predators have, you know, ongoing situation with Spider-Man.
yeah, they're all over the place. They were fighting the Ninja Turtles.
So, yeah, that could have been, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. For a second, I was like, oh, no, this is cool. This is cool. But question, so we saw, she shows us glimpse of 500 years into the future, and there's these monsters that are invading Earth. And basically she's like, I need Wakanda to get on the same page as everyone else so that you work together, so that you're not weakened for this. But so, and she kicks into motion, you know, what you were saying about basically what leads to Killmonger stealing that artifact in the future and standing up to T'Challa and the rest and saying Wakanda should not be an isolationist country.
Right.
And that's her goal. She wants to make that happen. She wants to have that artifact in the museum for Killmonger to steal later. Yeah. Hundreds of years later.
Right.
But you know, so this means that the Earth is prepared for the monsters, but this doesn't mean that the monsters don't invade 500 years into the future. So do you think that this is a glimpse of something to come, or do you think it's just going to be completely subverted by Secret Wars, by this whole,
completely subverted.
Yeah. All the universe is breaking apart and recombining.
Yeah. I don't expect this timeline to have that ending. No.
Okay.
I think the ending
no invaders.
Is
doom. Yeah.
No, Doom is the ending.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this episode, aside from the tie-in with the MCU, it is interesting, especially in the way, the fact that it's set in Africa, where Wakanda is. Wakanda being a fictional nation, Ethiopia obviously not. And Ethiopia famously, by the way, basically won this war and became the only African nation to push out the colonists.
Right.
At that time. And it's just interesting, the setting it next to where this struggle is going on. And of course, in the MCU, Wakanda stays independent because nobody knows Wakanda exists. and they're not helping. They're just there to steal the artifact. And it just, I think that it most emphasizes what dicks they are.
Yes, 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 yes. It goes back to everything that Eric, you know, called them out for. You mm-hmm. watched, you know, people get enslaved. You watch people get conquered.
Yeah.
You watch all these horrible things happen to your neighbors. You did nothing.
But it also fuels their fear, seeing it so close to home, I'm sure, too.
Well, but why would it fuel their fear knowing how far ahead they are?
Hmm. Because they think, yeah, they're going to come and take all of our vibranium and...
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's BS.
You're right. You're right.
It's BS by the rulers of Wakanda, by the ruling class of Wakanda, to keep the people in line.
Mm-hmm.
To keep them, you know, separate from the world. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about that. I wonder how many... You know, day-to-day Wakandans even knew what was happening to their neighbors.
I mean, they probably ignored it because that's what people tend
to do. Did they know? Did they know?
I mean, they might have, they probably were vaguely aware, but just ignored it because they could.
Because I don't even think they knew.
Your life is easier if you just
I don't even think they knew. I don't even think they knew those bad things were going on. These were people who were not allowed to leave. Everything that you knew, everything that you learned was Wakanda, Wakanda, Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
All your books, all your knowledge was fed to you by the ruling class. Mm. A ruling class that wanted you to be separate from the world. I don't think the everyday Wakandans even knew what they were.
What the outside
past.
World is like? Yeah, I mean, there's got to be people who are curious who find ways to get out. Obviously, we see that happening in this show and in the original movies.
But do they get back in?
I mean, I think so. I think what I find interesting in these situations and what we see in the real world is that people just... They have the ability to know what's going on in the world. They just don't want to because it's a lot to deal with. And they're like, I'm dealing with my own personal stresses. And if I don't have to worry about being bombed today, then why should I stress myself out by thinking about the people who do?
I don't know. That's a question I need to answer because I feel like the day-to-day Wakandans living their lives, you know, listening to what the ruling class is telling them. They didn't know like chattel slavery was happening.
I think they did. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
I don't think they did. I think they did. And that's I mean, it makes them bigger dicks, but it also makes them typical.
I know.
Typical people.
I know the people who ruled Wakanda knew.
Mm-hmm.
But the people farming the land, building the buildings.
I mean, I think they knew as much as they wanted to know. I did like the story arc with the Prince Defari, who, you know, he's a younger son of the royal family. So he's like, he really feels like he needs to prove himself because he's not inheriting anything, basically. Any titles or anything. And then he has to be convinced to fail his mission and go back and not explain why he failed his mission. So just to allow himself to look like a failure. And that takes a lot of bravery and humility to do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was very proud of the little animated character I just met 20 minutes before.
Definitely. Definitely.
Do you have any final thoughts in these four episodes?
Like I said, I enjoyed it. I would go back to Wakanda. I would like to go back to Wakanda, but I would like to go to Wakanda that tells more Wakandan stories. You know, more of the internal, you know, story of Wakanda, of Bass, the you know, of the heart-shaped herb.
Yeah.
Like, these are the stories, the first, you know, Black Panther, the first ancestors on the ancestral plane. I want to explore that. I would love to, if they explore that.
I mean, I guess, you know, they could have done so many more episodes of this, but at this point, it's a bit late in the game as we're getting close to Secret Wars. And so I wonder with this Black Panther 3 that's been announced, is that going to be a post-Secret Wars thing? And are then, I guess, we're dealing with a totally new Wakanda.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it'd be cool. They have a new chance to start over and tell more of these questions that you have about. It would be interesting to see the beginnings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. But first, next up in the MCU is Marvel Zombies.
Did you see the new trailer?
Yes. Yeah. It looks awesome. I'm going to rewatch those two episodes from the first season of What If before. But this is another one that was moved up. Not quite as much. It was supposed to come out October 3rd, and now it's going to come out September 24th. So that's already next week. And it's again going to be a 4-episode animated drop. And it looks like it's kind of like a movie that's divided in 4.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with. It looks great. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. 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 The trailers have been a big hit online.
Yes. Looks awesome. Mm. That's a high ranking on the Peculiar scale.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's going to be high.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's coming out next week, and I think the week after we're talking about doing a recording, because, of course, we are also at the same time doing weekly breakdowns
of Peacemaker
with Aaron from Radioactive Ramblings, and we have now seen half the season, the first 4 out of 5 episodes, out of 8 episodes.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see it. So far, it's been a lot of fun. Like, I love these characters, and I think that's the most important thing to me, is that I really love these characters.
Right.
Even though they're little shitheads. But it just, there's so many intriguing world-building things being set up that you just know, and we've also been promised that it's going to, like, blow the lid off of the last 3 episodes, especially. But next week, too, I think it's going to be a crazy one. All right. Well, anyone who enjoyed this, if you want to give us a helping hand at no cost, then we would love if you would share this episode with anyone else who is interested in Eyes of Wakanda, wants to know a bit more of the history behind things, a bit more analysis of the comic side of things. We also appreciate when you rate and review us wherever you're listening, especially, obviously, positive reviews. If you have any thoughts about this show or any of the other Marvel or DC things we're covering, please send that to comicsversus@thelorehounds.com. You'll find that link in the show notes. And there's also a link in the show notes, a link tree, where you'll find a link to the Discord, where we have a forum with spoiler chats per episode of Peacemaker, but also we have under franchises an MCU forum with a channel for Eyes of Wakanda. And you'll also find in the link tree links to all the other podcasts on the network. Never Mind the Music, Where Psychology Meets Music, Radioactive Ramblings, about to start Gen V coverage weekly. Properly Howard is wrapping up their Bacon Wrap movie review season. We'll Shift Dust is on a Dune kick, and the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast. And what else is going on in the Lorehounds feed?
Oh, wow. The Foundation just wrapped up. Oh my God, what a great season. Thank you for John and Marilyn for getting me through it. David,
and it's going to be a wrap-up episode with a voicemail from you, right?
Oh yeah, I got to do a voicemail. I might just send in a strongly worded Discord note if I can get this voicemail out. We have David leading weekly coverage of Alien Earth, which is another great show. David has episodes with Eternaut, One Shot, with Anthony Going Dread with Tansy Gardam, and a Heat Death episode also just dropped, and as well as the Emmy nomination. And are you guys doing a post Emmy show?
I mean, I would kind of like to, but neither David nor John watched. But I'll say that we did do a live watch chat on the Discord.
Yes.
So if anyone wants to know what the feelings were about the various things, we had a lot of fun doing that. So that's there for posterity. What did you think about the Emmy results? Did you pay any attention to them?
I'm not an awards guy.
No. I mean, the Pitt winning best drama over Severance or Andor was my
pet peeve.
Villain origin story. No, yeah. I just, I was disappointed about that. But overall, I think there were a lot of pleasant surprises, like Jeff Hiller winning for Somebody Somewhere. That was on my top 10 list last year. And like, that's always one of those shows where, I don't know, it's, people who watch it love it, but a lot of people don't even know it exists. It's on HBO. It's delightful. 3 seasons, it's done.
I mean, once I saw that Andor did not get the love it deserved from the noms, and also the Residents did not get the love it deserved from the noms, I was pretty much like, yeah.
Yeah, typical.
Those two things like took me out.
Interview with the Vampire was should have gotten, this is the one like everyone will tell you Interview with the Vampire should be winning all of the awards, but people are just not paying attention to it. It did get nominated, but it lost that to Bridgerton. I was most mad about winning, actually, The Boys won Best Original Song over The Ballad Witch's of the Road? Witch's Road. Like, what the hell?
Wow. That I didn't know. I did not know that. Wow, that stinks.
Anyway, we talked about a lot of that in the Emmys episode. Still fun to listen to. And also, there's a supercast in Patreon for anyone who wants to go a bit deeper and has the means to spare. You'll get ad-free access to our podcasts and bonus content starting at €5 a month. There's also extra Alien Earth content, Andor content, other shows. There's season passes for some of the shows like Alien Earth. If you just want that extra content and the ad-free episodes for that show for $10. But monthly subscribers get that, plus also extra like what you watch in episodes, or like you just did one for Alien Earth with David.
Yeah, that was fun.
There's also extra monthly episodes like Second Breakfast and 11sies. September is John's month. It's musicals month. And we're doing the producers. And then Purple Rain was on the list. No. Next month, I've been tweaking and redoing over and over again my list of proposals for Spooktober next month.
Oh, boy. I can't wait to see the list.
Yeah, I think you'll approve.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you so much to all of you who are listening. I'm going to thank you to the tunes of Chenkura from the Rhythmic folder. Thank you especially to our Discord server boosters, Aaron K., Tiller the Thriller, Doob71, Athena Agileya, Lestu, Nancy M., Ghost of Partition, Radioactive Richard, and Adrian. And thank you most of all to our highest tier of subscribers, the Lore Master, Samartian, Michael G., Michelle E., Brian P., SC, Peter OH, Adam S., Nancy M., Doob71, Brian8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Garrett C., Matthew M., Sarah M., Andre B., Kwong Yu, Jedi Bob, Nathan T., Sub-Zero, Aaron K., Dally V., Mothership61, Gnarls, Kathy W., Lestu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Neil F., Ben B., Scott F., Stephen N., Julia F., Polly S., Ilmariel, /Tim, Paul K., Bobby C., Jessica H., Red Zippy, the TCS, and always last, Adrian. All right. Sean, take us out.
Yeah. You know, we just talked about Wakanda, and how could we talk about Wakanda without talking about T'Challa? Kevin Feige just announced that Damson Idris is T'Challa.
Just put Sean out of his misery.
Please.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.